My, it's good to see you today. Did you look around? Looks a little fuller, especially if you're a 9 o'clock person. You think, wow, did I come to the right place? But it's wonderful once in a while just to get together like this. And I have good news for you. You're going to be blessed today. You've already been blessed. I decided to take a little shorter time in sharing from God's word this morning because we got a picnic to go to, but a worship service is not just singing. It's not just praying. It's the proclaiming of the Word of God, and we believe that. While we went through COVID, we studied through the book of Philippians. Some of you will remember that. And then this past year, we've just completing today 20 weeks in this little letter of 2 Timothy. 20 weeks we've been in this letter. The last will and testament of the Apostle Paul before he laid down his life in Rome. And I don't know about you, but it's blessed me. Every week I come to the text and I'm like, this just seems just the right text for today. And I know you pray for me and I pray for you that we'll be nourished on the Word of God, that our strength will come from His Word and His Spirit illuminating the Scripture. So, this is the last time you're going to see that those boxing gloves. Paul said, you know, I have fought the good fight. There is a good fight in life, and this is the last time we'll have to see this. So today we're just going to do an overview, and I'm going to cover the last verse of the letter. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. Very last words in the scriptures that the Apostle Paul wrote are those words. Very last ones. Now, what is significant is this. The Lord be with your spirit was written to the pastor. That was written to Timothy. That's in the singular. You know, and every one of us can take that. The Lord be with your spirit. That part of you that makes you different than the animal kingdom. That your spirit, which was made alive at the new birth. What comes alive when we trust Christ? Our spirit. Our body and our soul are the same. The spirit comes alive. And now we have the ability to worship God as we were created to worship God. Our next series will be in the book of Genesis. When Jesus was asked the question about marriage, we're talking about the subject of marriage, he went to Genesis. So that's what we'll be doing next week and the following weeks. But it's with the Spirit that Adam and Eve worshiped and communed with God. And after the fall, the Spirit was dead. They felt it right away. They hid from God, but God pursued them. And he's still pursuing us today. How wonderful that is. So he says, the Lord be with your spirit, Timothy. And then he says, grace be with y'all. Because he is a southerner, so that's why he said that. Actually, I've been told correctly, grace be with all y'all. Because that's what it really means. Everyone. And how we need grace. You know, we need grace every moment of every day, and God has an infinite supply that will always be sufficient. And it's just such a blessing to rely not on my strength or my wisdom alone or even my brothers and sisters, but on God's infinite grace. Yeah, when I'm weak, he's strong. When he does things through your life and mine, he displays that I can even use weak things. Hallelujah. Paul said, I'm going to boast in my weaknesses. And this was a weak time. Physically, he was imprisoned. But he believed in the grace of God. He starts out the letter saying, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. He blesses them with grace. And then at the end, he says, grace be with you. He consistently does that. I say to you, grace be with you. Now let's take a moment to just quickly review where we've been. This will be a quick review, I promise. Chapter 1, refresh other people. Use your spiritual gifts to refresh others without fear or shame in the face of persecution. Paul was in prison when he wrote these words. And he talks about a man by the name of Onesiphorus. And I'm just waiting for the next baby boy to be born that we get to dedicate, whose name is Onesiphorus. He was a refresher. What an amazing guy he was. That's why we included the idea of refreshing. And Paul was speaking to Timothy, who he calls his son. And then I just picked a couple of favorite verses. All the verses are favorites, right? Everyone's important. But how about that verse 7? For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid or fearful, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. If you remember our study, that word self-discipline means a saved mind. As a believer, you've been given the mind of Christ. And so you need not be timid or afraid, because by His Spirit, He has given you power, love, and a saved mind. And then I love verse 12. That is why I'm suffering as I am. Paul is concerned that Timothy will not be ashamed of his suffering and the suffering that Timothy might face. Yet this is no cause for shame, the suffering, because I know whom I believed. And I am convinced that He is able to guard what I've entrusted to Him until that day. Everything we entrust to the Lord is in its safest place. See? You say, oh, I don't know. Oh, yeah. You think you can protect it? You know, really. It's safest when you entrust it to the Lord. So whether it's your finances or your family or your friends or your neighbors or your job or your marriage, whatever it is, entrust it to Him. Commit it to Him. He's able to keep it. All right, chapter 2. Make disciples who reproduce. Make useful disciples who reproduce as they endure harsh circumstances and quarrelsome people. It's quite an interesting chapter. And honestly, I love the very opening words of the chapter. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. There's that reproduction. This is the true understanding of apostolic succession. What the apostles taught in the gospel has been transmitted down person to person to person until this very day. Amen. It's the truth of the gospel that was intended to be passed on. It's the gospel, not just in doctrine, but in life. It's the life that we live in the gospel and in Christ that's so precious. And we want others to enjoy that kind of life because we remember what it was like before we had met Christ, how difficult it was, how at times miserable it was. And when we're thankful that grace reproduction is what it's about. Isn't it cool? You get to be part of this. I get to be part of this. Yeah. And then how about this? I love verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. If you remember our discussion of this, if you want to be diligent in your following Christ, and then you do your very best. You do it in a timely way. You don't delay. You don't make excuses. And you do it thoroughly, the best that you can, with excellence. And you're confident that there's no shame in this. And He is going to make you competent. And you will be handling the word of truth correctly, which means you'll do it in a straight way, like a farmer who puts his furrows down nice and straight. Or like a builder who is building the bricks and makes sure they all line up just as they should. And it's the Word of God who makes us competent to do this. We are better together. You notice how many times He has addressed things to the group and how important that is. We have concern for each other. We ask God to help us reach our fullest potential in Christ. That's what we desire. We just had a ministry community meeting last Sunday, and Pastor David did such a great job of exhorting us. And you know what David told us? We need to be hyper hospitable. How do you like that? Hyper hospitable. Like, David, what has gone wrong with you? Right? Well, one of his new tasks is to help us greet people. Help us to help people to get connected. I'll tell you an interesting statistic. You might like to hear this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Many of the people who have been around here for a while think we're a very friendly church. But when we ask the new people, they're not as sure. So after COVID, as we regroup, we want to be better at being hospitable. Now I want you to practice. Smile. Isn't that good? Like you're going to a picnic. All right, after this, we get to picnic together. Smile. Seek to learn people's names. Last week, we had 10 first-time guests in our worship services. 10. Now, God, I believe, is sending them to us. Okay? That's a moving of his spirit. We'll do the best we can. You do the best you can. I hope there's some first-time guests with us today. But it's not just the first time, it's the 101st time, you know, that we want to be hospitable. That we want to be generous and saying, come. The most important word of the gospel is come. That's why we say we invite all generations and all cultures. We're about inviting people to meet Christ. We're about inviting people to meet us. So that they can understand what real fellowship is about. The very last invitation in Scripture, I love this. If you don't remember anything else I say this morning, that's fine. Don't forget this, all right? Revelation 22, verse 17. Now listen to this. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life come. That's all we say to this needy world. We don't say, hey, get your act together, and then you can come and be with us. That's how you greet people like that. No, no. Come. I don't care about where you've been or who you've been with. I don't care about what you've done. Jesus Christ is more than able to forgive, cleanse, and remake your life. See? That's why we say, come. And notice what he said. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit is saying, come. The bride, the church is saying, come. And the one who heard the gospel, he or she is saying, come. And the ones who've tasted of the gift of eternal life, the one who's thirsty, you come. And the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life, you come. Yeah. Hyper hospitable. Thank you, Pastor David. Chapter 3, be fruitful in the last days. Your ministry in terrible seasons will be successful when it is anchored in the inspired word of God. That's the way we summarize chapter 3. One of my favorite chapters. It doesn't start out so good. It's a pretty tough chapter, isn't it? It was hard to preach this. It was hard to look at it. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. And he goes through a list, and then he says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Many of us believe we're in the last of the last days. Every day we wake up, we see new tragedy, new sorrow, a new war, a new rumor of war. And it's concerning to us. I don't know about you, but I'm scared. I don't even know where to get the information anymore. I don't know who to trust. I'm going to trust this. I'm going to stay here in this. This week, I just read through Psalm 119. It's a long psalm. But I was just blessed looking at the power of the Word of God. Well, I don't want to be among those who have a form of godliness but deny its power. That is a scary thing. A.W. Tozer said, can you imagine people who are members of your church not going to heaven? No, we desire that profession made at membership is real. They they acknowledge the power of the gospel. See? And the chapter ends in those beautiful words, all scriptures God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant, man or woman of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, you remember my outline. I'll give it to you one more time, just because sometimes repetition is good. Teaching, that's what's right. Word of God is going to teach you what is right, what is just, what is fair, what is honest. Rebuking, that's what is not right. All of us, from time to time, open the Bible and we go, what? Thank God he gave us his word and his spirit to rebuke us. Being a coach for many years, guys don't like to be rebuked. I used to tell my little leaguers, I will not embarrass you in front of the team, but if I tell you, get over here, I want to talk to you face to face. Because that mental error you just made out there cost us 3 runs in this game. You know, parents used to take pictures of me talking to their children one-on-one. I don't know what they did with it later, but you know. Rebuking, it's important. And correcting, that's how to get right. Don't you love that? God doesn't just rebuke us and send us on our way. He corrects us. He tells us how to get right. And then training in righteousness, that's how to stay right. And the Word of God will do all of that. What a great chapter. All right, chapter 4. Preach the Word and live by faith until you reach heaven's shore. Yeah. Amen. Preach the Word. I sent out to a bunch of my friends who are preachers just this week that very thought. Preach the Word this week, buddy. Don't forget that. I sent it to Josh Suddeth. He wrote back and said, thank you. He's a senior pastor now, Josh is. He was a youth pastor here, and I don't know if it's a promotion to be a lead pastor or not. I'm not quite sure. But anyway, that's what he's doing. Hallelujah. And some others as well. Preach the word. And when he says these words, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. The reward is real, and it will come to everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for reminding us of these truths. Thank you, Lord, we get to celebrate together today. And the reality of what is before us, the destiny, is something surely worth celebrating. So be with us in these final songs and guide us as we move from here out to the picnic area. Lord, let our fellowship be sweet because it's centered in you. In your name, amen.